Welcome to The Stinger, golf's number one podcast, because if loving golf is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'm Chuck Stevenson. I'm a golf expert.
That's a great line. It really
yeah, you
great.
Know what I mean.
Yeah. And I'm Mark Puste. I'm Chuck's loyal partner in crime.
Former Davidson golf star, Mark Puste.
Exactly. The greatest. Some people have said the greatest college golfer of all time. People are saying that. I hear people saying that. Yeah.
Well, if we do a top 10 all-time Davidson golfers podcast, it's going to be two or one. You or the other guy.
Who played you or someone else.
you're that famous Davidson golfer. That's like saying famous Lafayette College basketball player. Just
Steph Curry does not qualify for this one.
Nope.
Even though he's going to be on the next iteration of the match. Did you see that announcement this week?
I did see that.
What do you think about that, by the way?
I just don't care.
You aren't into the exhibition ones. I'm more into those than you are.
You know why I'm not into them?
Why is that?
Because they're dumb. They're dumb. But I'll say this, Mark, as you chug wine, I'm going to have to edit you, like, just a whole podcast of me editing slurping noises. Anyway, that's not good. Anyway, if that you enjoy it is great. I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm really happy. I would rather gouge my eyeballs out than watch that crap, but that's okay.
I mean, it's going to be a little rough.
Disagree. Well, you text me every time. Hey, look.
No, I've noticed you've never responded.
And Garrett Top versus Tiger Woods in a ball of yarn.
Nice. It's a nice play on the big cat thing.
Exactly.
I've noticed that I'll send you 15 texts and I won't get any response on them.
Not usually from those.
I've liked a few of them. As a Davidson grad, you can always have basically an exception for somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Cavs fan, I always had an exception for Steph. I mean, that's a personal thing.
Right. I don't.
And I can understand why.
I hate him.
Right. I can understand why. Yeah. But even with that exception, this is not one that I mean, you're going to do, you're going to watch it just to see what everybody says, right? Because it's Barkley and because it's, right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That makes it stupid. That makes it dumb.
It's basically, in terms of the golf, it's just going to be Phil trying to play, you know, Steph and, who's the fourth? I'm trying to remember.
Peyton. Isn't it Peyton? I assume it's Peyton Manning.
What's funny is Steph is going to be the least engaging of those four, probably.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. See, he's not that interesting a guy. He's just the greatest shooter of all time.
Watch where you're going.
I'm just saying. He's not, but it's okay.
The best into rough waters.
the best in the opposite direction. The best Cleveland Brown the expansion era was Joe Thomas. He was boring as milk.
Yeah, I can't really argue that.
Yep, no. That's all I'm saying. So don't take it as an insult.
It wasn't.
Don't be a baby. Oh, by the way, that actually gets me to our email. We're going to do a couple. But I have one comment on the emails. And then we'll get to the CJ.
I didn't check them this week, so I'm glad that you did.
Could you check them next week? Here's the deal. We have some good emailers. My buddy Dan in Los Angeles, that guy actually will say nice things, but then if he has criticism, it's constructive. You know, and he, like the timestamps, which I remember to do sometimes. That was his idea, okay? So for every Dan who I maybe even learn something, incorporate something, there's a bunch of idiots. There's one group of idiots going, oh, you guys got along so well the last podcast. Why don't you sing Kumbaya, right? And then there's the other idiots who say, oh, you got along. Thank you for being nice, Chuck. Like, it's always my fault. Like, didn't you ever think that maybe it's because Mark behaved? I didn't have to do that? So, yeah, could you read them next week? Because I'm tired of it. I love our fans, but I got to say that about the emails, Mark. I'm sorry. They're driving me nuts. I'm getting the same reaction that you get when you send me texts about stupid celebrity golf things. Not reacting. Seriously, have you done anything but drink wine this whole podcast? Do I have to carry the whole thing?
All 6 minutes of it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
God all almighty. 6 minutes, okay. I'd get off my chest. Next time I'm just going to read one of Dan's emails so you can see what a real email is.
I'd love to hear Dan's email.
They're good.
Yeah.
It's refreshing. It's not a big pile of garbage. And let me tell you something. That guy was a good assistant coach of my little league team. So there you go.
You need a good right-hand and right-hand man.
Exactly. Especially when I'm dealing with a bunch of a-holes on the other side, which was every game. But there you go.
I've been there too.
Yep. Anyway, CJ Cup recap. Jason Kokrak, who I call Jason Cockrock. I was shocked by two things, and I can't believe I know this because I'm golf's number one expert, or at least top five. I was his first win, and he's 35. I wouldn't have guessed either.
You would have guessed older, right?
No, I would have guessed younger.
Really?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I think
I'm being a bodist.
Yeah. No, I like it. A little bit of girth. I loved it. I mean, a little bit of,
yeah, built like a man of a more advanced age.
Exactly.
I just joshing with you, Jason. We love you, just especially joshing, since you're Cleveland's favorite boy for the week.
You did it, man.
That pushes you ahead of people like Stipe and Big Chuck and Little John for the week.
Exactly. So why do you go to Xavier, man? We have schools up north.
So, I mean, they've got one of the best,
really?
If not the best, mid-major programs not far from Cleveland.
I was going to say, Kent State, right? Yeah, I was going to say, you should go to Kent State.
I mean, Kent State's got a fantastic program.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe they didn't recruit him. That would have been dumb.
I'll be honest. I don't know how. I don't know how they have a great program, but they do.
They do.
I mean, but look, any program tradition starts with a few guys who play well, right?
Exactly.
You get the right sort of mix of guys, and then people are like, oh, he went to Bowling Green, and then
right.
You know
what Ohio schools went after you? Did any Ohio schools go after you?
The ones that did actually, I had a lot of, obviously, as you would imagine, Division III. Right. Interest, which is interesting because Ohio is actually a hotbed for Division III golf
And football.
NAIA. Yeah, NAIA and Division III. I mean, so you had Malone that was really great and NAIA. At that time, Otterbein was a national championship contender. Right. You had Miss Kingham, Ohio Wesleyan. You had some really good programs. Obviously, I had some of those. I'll be honest, I never actually really considered any of the Ohio schools. I mean,
I didn't either, because I wanted a party.
I mean, Ohio State, every year at the state tournament, you wanted to get Coach Brown's attention. But, he was only interested really in like one guy or two guys ever. And it was difficult to get their attention anywhere else. And, you could go and try to make it as a preferred walk-on, but you'd have to shoot like a pair of 68s just to right. just to get anywhere. So, I mean, it just wasn't really worth it. Besides, I wanted to go south. I definitely wanted to go south. Yeah.
Well, that makes one of us. The well, there you go. So he beats Xander Schauffele, who was fantastic. But just he had the bogey on the par 5 16th. You know what I was thinking? A bogey on a par 5 in the modern game is like, it's like murder. Like, how many rounds have been killed? Like, if you bogey a par 5 now, you're dead. I mean, obviously in the old days it stunk, but now it's just, it's basically a par 4 with an attitude. Right. You know what I mean? So as soon as you get the 6, you basically throw in 2 strokes in the garbage. Because everyone else is getting on the green in 2.
Yeah.
So there you go. I feel like I'm talking in between your wine sips.
No, that, I swear I didn't drink anything there.
No. Yeah, right.
That was more like old man, like wetting your lips sort of thing.
Okay.
That's what I was doing, yeah.
That's gross. So I
you make wild accusations. I will bring facts to the yeah.
I got a laptop from a Russian in Delaware.
Yes, exactly. Topical. Yes. Timely.
Exactly. I got some Rubik's Cube jokes. So I thought the wind course, Steve Wynn course, as you described last time.
The wind
course. I'm going to say this. I thought it was solid, but I won't shed a tear if they don't play there again. Like, it was fun, but like, I'm not dying to see it again. Like, it was fun.
I don't know why. I was hoping for more.
Yeah, but, I was kind of, yeah, it wasn't that great.
I mean, I guess I don't know why I felt like I was let down somehow. It's a gorgeous course. I mean, visually, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, I think you and I expected it to put up more of a fight.
Yeah. I didn't think the holes were that. There wasn't anything distinct about the holes.
Well, they won't go back to it because there's no way of, because it doesn't lend itself to a PGA Tour event. I mean,
right.
You just don't, you know, I mean, you can't hear the echoes from other fairways. You can't sort of, you know, it just visually on TV, it could only work as a PGA Tour event if there were no crowds. Because if there were crowds, it would look like nobody was there.
Right. On the other hand, there's nobody yelling after somebody tees going, "You the man!"
I think that is going to be eternal.
Yeah. I just say,
yeah. That's the other one. Yeah.
Yep. Those are the two. Funny every time. So I have a couple of questions.
Every single time. I have never heard a time when I've heard it and I have not laughed hysterically.
Just losing it.
I know.
Okay. So here, I got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Can Kokrak ever become a top 10 world golf ranking player?
Whew, top 10.
Whoa. Top 10's, that's ambitious.
I mean, he just moved up 13 spots in the Ryder Cup standings.
Right.
You know, so he's actually not that, I mean, look, I was about to say, I mean, we laugh a little, but I mean, he's played fantastic golf for the last 2 years.
Yep.
I mean, he really,
that's what I said. I'm surprised he didn't win. I said one. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I would have expected that he would have gotten at least one at some point, beforehand, but you know, it's hard to win on tour. And it's a big deal. I mean, obviously, you know, he gets all the benefits that come from it now too. But you know, top 10, I mean, he doesn't really seem to have sort of the raw talent that would seem to lend itself to a potential top 10 game. But
he does, I mean,
that
have
hasn't
that
kept other players from getting, you know, to top 10 status, right?
But can he get there by just, he contends a lot? I mean, he's certainly a consistent player.
Solanto Griffin school.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, but he's probably better than him. I mean, in terms of talent. Like, could he sneak in a 10? Like, he rips off a bunch of top 10s in a row? And
Well, here, let's pull up. I want to pull up now the top 10 in the world. Do you have it handy with you?
I don't, but I almost have it memorized. I think it's DJ first, Rom second, third, JT third, I think Morikawa fourth, Rory fifth, Bryson sixth. This is off the top of my head because I'm slowing down at seven. I think Reed is 10, nine is Hatton. And then who would eight and seven be? God, look it up. That's pretty good though.
That is good. And I actually have it bookmarked. So Hatton is nine.
Kingston is eight. Oh yeah, Xander and Webb.
Xander is seven. And Patrick Reed is 10.
I just got that. What'd you think?
Yeah. I'm Golf's very number impressed. One podcast. Yes. I'm very impressed. I mean that. I am quite impressed.
That's a tough top 10. Although you got to think Hatton won't be there forever. But the other guys.
No, I mean, this might be his ceiling.
Yeah.
But truth be told, I mean, look, you go 11 through 20, and these aren't guys that have necessarily distinguished themselves over the last 10, most of them. Okay. I mean, so Daniel Berger's had a great year.
Wolf's at 12.
Wolf has had a great year, but otherwise you got some guys who aren't playing fantastic golf. Koepka, Cantlay, Scott Fleetwood, Finau, Ustazen, Fitzpatrick, and Matsuyama. I mean, Matsuyama's been quietly good.
Matsuyama's been okay.
Matsuyama's been quietly good, but it's really hard. It's not impossible to get into the top 20. It's really hard to get to the top 10.
I think he's in the top 20 easily. So I didn't ask that question. He's 26. I mean, I think the only guys moving up in front of him that could move up are Victor, Sungjae, and Fiend, and Wolf. Maybe Berger.
Answer?
Maybe Cantlay.
Your man answer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Answer. He's really good. I wish you figured that out, but I guess not. Guess I got to teach you about golf, man. Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, do you think you can win a major?
No.
Okay, whoa!
Yeah, I'm just...
I think he's going to contend but not do it. I think he's going to contend in one major. It's going to be U.S. contend. Open. He'll contend in U.S. Open and get a third. There you go. But yeah,
he might have a 36-hole lead.
Yeah.
He'll definitely contend, or he might be one of those guys who on Sunday is quietly making a charge, and then all of a sudden on the back nine, you're like, Kokrak's one back.
Right.
That's sort of the way I see that happening.
You're like, Kokrak's one back and Fowler's 20 back. So what?
Spieth is 25 back. So
no, Spieth didn't make the cut. In my fake tournament. Files better.
I mean, how do you feel personally when, because when a guy who's considered by the non-mainstream golf fan to be a nobody, right?
Yeah.
When they win, for a lot of those fans, this can feel like a little bit of a, like a letdown.
Right.
They love to see the big names win. How do you feel? Where are you on that one? And I know your theory about golf fans in general, but what are the feelings of?
It really, I hate to wimp out, but it depends. Like when Stuart Sink won a tournament a few weeks ago, I was like, ugh. But this one I thought was great because he deserved it. And he was going head-to-head with Xander. So I thought this was great. I mean, I love Tiger, but that Wyatt Yang winning was pretty... beating him was pretty awesome. I mean? That was pretty amazing. I'd say I was cheering for Wyatt Yang just because I was like, this is a shot. Like, this is... And he hasn't even come close.
I was just looking today at what his... world ranking was the week that he won. I want to say it was like 110 something like that.
Yeah. He wasn't, he was like a pretty good Asian like tour player.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah. Like,
and actually he played well for about a 12 month period.
Yeah.
Like before and after.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was short lived.
But I mean, he was a top, and Asian tour is pretty solid. So
he is not, however, the lowest ranked, player to win a major in the last 25 years.
Is it Curtis or McKeel?
It is Curtis.
Yeah.
And it's not close.
Wow.
I believe Curtis was like 348.
Right, because wasn't he like he was a last qualifier in or something like that, right?
Something like that. It was his first major.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he was alternate. Like no, he wasn't. He was like eighth in some tournament and got in. He was one of those like the top 10 in this tournament goes to British Open. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that was nuts.
I gotta pull this up.
Right. Well, I'm gonna keep talking while you pull this up.
Well, I was gonna say what really struck me was because there were some interesting years there. 2003,
right?
Okay. The major winners from 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Check out this murderer's row. Mike Weir wins the Masters.
He was really good. I think that's a good one. He was top five at that point. He was pretty good.
I believe he was maybe top 15.
Yeah.
He
was a pretty damn good player.
I don't think he ever got that high.
Okay. But point taken.
But so you had Weir. Okay. I mean, and then Furyk. All right.
Okay. Well, good.
At the US Open.
Had to be top 10 at that point.
And then Curtis and McKeel.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I will say that.
I mean, this was in the middle of like the Tiger run, right?
Yeah, I remember I got my mother-in-law was yelling at me because I actually that McKeel PGA was really good.
Yeah.
And and she was getting
annoyed. I hit on 18 to win it, basically.
Yeah, I think it hit like 2 feet from the cup. Yeah, maybe less, but 2 inches from the cup. But yeah, I remember her just getting on me for that. Oh man, that was.
And what's interesting, you know, for all those majors, Tiger was PGA Tour Player of the Year, PGA Player of the Year,
right?
Like Tiger had this fantastic year, but he didn't win any majors that year.
It was weird. Yeah, he wasn't even contending that much.
Anyway,
Next question. Do you think Xander has any chance of being number one player in the world someday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't think it's that far away.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and guarantee it, but absolutely he can do it. And I don't think it's that far away. Yeah.
Yeah. He's awesome. He is.
By the way, his last 3 months have sort of reminded you of who he was. I think there was about a 9 month, 12 month period there in which he played good golf, but
yeah,
you know, wasn't really sort of playing, I think, to the level that he would expect of himself. And he's definitely back.
He's
comfortable picking him in majors again.
He looks phenomenal.
He would be a great pick this week, by the way.
Yeah, I have a pick though already.
I'm intrigued by that one.
We talked about Hatton. You are not buying he's a top 10 golfer.
I'm not buying Tyrrell, but you know, not that he has to prove anything to me. I hate those people. Like, he's got to show me something. Like, oh, he has to show you.
Right. Sports talk radio. Tony Rizzo. You got to show me.
Right. And that guy has to show me that he can do it in the majors. He's like, come on. Yeah, you're right. That's the one hill he has left to climb. Yeah.
I love when they ask a professional athlete, like, did it affect you when blank Ryder said this about you? And I'm like, you understand they're professional athlete, right? They're facing another group of amazing professional athletes. Do you think the first thing in their mind is like, I wonder what that guy wrote about me?
Yeah.
Like, I seriously, I just don't think people understand the mental process. These like people go through. They don't. Okay, so I got a couple more things. Bubba gets a T7, Mr. Bubba
Watson. I had actually written down Bubba.
Yeah. Is this guy setting us up for a Masters win here, number three?
Didn't
I say last podcast?
You strongly suggested Bubba.
Yeah.
I believe we spoke optimistically about him.
I've been really encouraged the last 9 months with his demeanor and his play. Like, I've actually found him. I used to be like, well, he's fun, but he's so annoying. But I really enjoy watching him play right now. He's one of my favorites.
I know you do not put much stock into any of the exhibitions, but I got to tell you, I mean, he looked very loose last week. He looked like a guy who really loved his game, loved what he was doing.
I put it with him because he really needs that. But I like his game a lot right now. I really
do. He could be a sneaky pick this week too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was thinking about it. Sergio's still playing well. He got a T21.
Yeah.
That's
pretty playing well relative to what he's been doing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, T21 in that field's not too bad. That was a pretty good field.
Well, it's funny. He was T21 with Rory, and I have a big question mark next to Rory.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And well, I was going to ask you, I mean, about Rory.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Rory.
Are you concerned at all?
Yeah, I am concerned. Because I don't know how much... He's not contending. That's what I'm concerned about, is that
he was never in it this week.
Yeah, he wasn't even close. Man. And I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like I kind of started to hit me when I was listening to the PGA Championship. I'm like, he's just not in the story anymore. You know? All these young guys are champs and Morikawas and Wolves. They're all popping up, and it's just like, he ain't around.
You know? I don't know what it is, to be honest. That putter still seems to be holding him back.
He's not putting well.
Anytime they show him on TV, he's missing a putt you feel like he should be making. It feels like he just hasn't gotten it any particular week, right? Like if it's, one week it's his driving, another week it's his approach, another week it's his putting. Like it just hasn't all come together. For a guy like Rory, that's never been the issue, right? I mean, it didn't have to come together that week, and he could still win.
When's the last tournament he went low in two rounds? There's been a couple tournaments he's gone low. Even this tournament, he went low one round. But there's not.
It would have been earlier in 2020. He started 2020 in a fantastic.
No, I mean since the restart. Yep.
I don't think he's played with much distinction since the
restart.
I'd have to look up exactly what he's done, but I can't think of a time in which Rory felt like he was genuinely in contention. I don't know. I don't know what he did during the pandemic. I mean, it's possible he took time off. You know, he's a family guy now. I mean, he's got a kid now, right?
I'm sure he did all the right things. It's just a very tough sport, and there's a lot of talent out there right now. And he's playing in the best tournaments, you know?
Well, I mean, it's funny. You even look at, like, Tiger's record during his peak years. And his peak was really – I talk about it all the time. Nobody did what he did over a course of a 10, 15-year period, but there were really about 3 years, three, 4 years in which he was otherworldly.
He won half the tournaments, which is stupid.
His 2000 year, that needs to go into the Smithsonian.
Yeah, it's the greatest year of all time.
I think it's the greatest year of all time. And none of those wins is at a nothing event. Like every single one of them is a great event.
No, it's great.
And some of them were record breaking fashion. I mean, the 2000 year, no one will ever come close. I don't see it ever happening again.
That was the biggest, 2000 was the biggest gap between him and the rest of the golf world. And that might have been the biggest gap between, well, I don't know, because maybe Hogan in his prime, but that might have been the biggest gap between the best golfer and the rest of the pack. I mean, that was, he had seasons where he won 8 or 9, but he wasn't that dominant because no one has been that dominant. So, maybe Harry Vardon.
I mean, the only one that would even compare would be Byron Nelson.
Yeah, I'd say Byron Nelson. But as we've said, those 11 tournaments, he won like the Ohio Truckers.
Yeah, there's a few of those in there that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are like, you know, you're, like the Tuesday four ball. Like,
right. They didn't even shove those on the Golf Channel.
Yeah. Some of those are a little weak.
They played them on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm going to go over a couple other golfers, and we're going to preview the Zozo.
Sure. I might have a guy or two I want to hit on.
What's up with Gary Woodland, man? What the hell? The guy's not playing.
Yeah, well. Boy. He's pretty far down there, right? It was like what?
Five spots from last. He's done Zilcheroony. And this is a guy you and I have talked up, and he right now just.
He had a brief period this summer.
Yeah, he was all right.
He played well.
Yeah.
But it looked just as it looked like it was going to be an extended period, it stopped.
Yeah.
So it only really lasted about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It truth be told, this wasn't a perfect course for him. Right. I mean, it doesn't really fit his ball flight. Mm-hmm. But you know, to be honest, Pebble Beach felt like that too. So
right.
He just may be fighting something right now. Who knows?
Yeah. Hopefully, I love the guy, so I hope he figures.
Yeah, it out. Absolutely. He's a great kid. He's
good for golf. What do you think of Brooks?
I had Brooks on my list. I actually think this is a good start for Brooks.
Excellent.
He's got to consider that a success. I mean, I don't know if he would consider it a success, but if you're looking at it objectively, being off as long as he did, I'd say he played fairly well.
You know what I said on my nuts how he played?
Huh.
Pretty well.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take it.
You said fairly well. I said pretty well.
I said, if I'm a Brooks fan, I'll take it. Absolutely.
I say he doesn't look 100% yet, but he played all right.
Yeah. He looks like he's lost a few pounds.
Which you needed.
You know, that's going to happen when you're hurt.
Yeah. So. I don't think he's going to have trouble hitting the ball. And then the last thing, we'll go to the Zozo.
I'm wondering if your last person is the same as mine.
Okay, we talked about this on Thursday because we did the podcast after one round, and we were talking about who might have partied in Vegas.
Oh.
And Matthew Wolf.
Matthew Wolf, yeah.
I suggested Matthew Wolf because he's one of the 10 best golfers in the world, period, end of story. And he was horrible in this tournament. And I don't want to say that he partied, but if he did, good for him. You deserve it, man. Whatever.
You don't just party when you win. I mean, sometimes when you lose a playoff, you go out and party too.
So I don't call it slander because I'm like, you've partied in Vegas. Fine. Great. Hope you kept it safe. But I have no problem with that.
I mean, he's still second in the FedEx Cup right now. I mean, I think he's fine. Which,
yeah, I don't
surprise me, by the way, that. You know, if that'll give you an idea of exactly how much of a premium is put on wins, you know, right. He literally finished second in the U.S. Open and the next week, and he's second. I mean, in FedEx Cup points.
Man, that guy's a contender for the whole thing, though. Holy crap!
Yeah.
Okay, who's your guy?
Oh, you know who my guy is. The guy I can never quit, Jordan Spieth.
I don't even know what to say anymore. I didn't write him down. He's.
I mean, he shot a 567 on the last day to sneak into 36th.
Yeah, it was almost like boring. It was like, great. You finished middle of the pack. You had a nice Sunday on a pretty easy course. I mean, I'm almost at the point where it's like, I don't know what to say anymore. He's not very good. I mean, he's, you know, and
people aren't paying attention to him.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk about him, but he's not very good anymore. He was a nice name, and it just isn't happening. And I mean, Spieth Tracker gave up.
I'm actually surprised. I think that, I mean, if the online sort of social media activity is any indication, mm-hmm. it does feel like Spieth Nation is starting to find other things to do at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, Spieth Tracker, I don't want to get into particulars. You had a tweet, response to a tweet that annoyed the hell out of me.
Was it political?
It was political, and predictably, you're a moron. You're a freaking idiot. Oh, my God. But and Mark can tell you, I called it.
Yeah.
Please don't vote.
I mean, about the political leanings of the Spieth fans.
Yeah, the Tracker.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, please. That's all I'm saying. I hope you're listening because you're a joke. You're a freaking joke. Sorry. And yeah, I'm going to say that. So that was a good preview. I'm glad I got to rip that idiot from Spieth Tracker.
I'm with you though in general. I'm okay if they don't come back to Shadow Creek. That's fine with me.
Yeah, I just I was interested, and then by Saturday I'm like, this is just another course. This is no big deal. And I'm a guy, I've liked some courses this year, some surprising ones. I'll rip them, but then, you know, there's some obscure courses I've taken a fan, and you know, the PGA in San Francisco. That course, I went berserkitude on that one. I don't think anyone's liked the course more than I like that one.
I mean, I mean, it earned it. I mean,
yep.
My expectations weren't high going in, but yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fantastic. So there you go. Okay, another CJ Cup, really good. Agreed, really good.
Yeah.
That was solid. Yeah, you're not as excited. I think this next one's going to be a barn burner, Zozo.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
This is a hell of a field.
It is a hell of a field. Both of these events, by the way, are what you would consider, I think, like top 15% field.
Yeah, this is the real deal. You got of course Tiger won it last time. We're gonna have a lot of Tiger talk. You got Rory, Rahm, Morikawa, Wolf, Hovland. Morikawa, Wolf, Hovland are like must see TV, right? You want to have those three. Am I right? Or are you drinking wine?
No, I was thinking about it. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to respond or not, or if you just wanted a little room there. I was thinking about the group that Wolf has this week. Have you seen his group?
I have not.
It's he's with Tiger and with I don't know if it's Shoffley.
Wow. Look it up.
Shoffley. Woods, Wolf.
Wow. Zeroony. Yeah. That's a fun group. Three good dudes, too. I was just hoping you were going to, because when it's a golfer, Wolf's definitely one of my favorites. I hate when you're like, yeah, you know, Sanjay's playing with Bryson and Patrick.
We can find out who Sungjae is playing with this week.
I actually think that if Sabatini, Reed, and Bryson are all in the same tournament, they should always play together the first 2 days.
Sungjae's with Kokrak and Munoz.
That's a nice little group. That's not a bad group
for him. Yeah, I think that's a group he can play well with. Spieth is with Kisner and Imahira.
Yeah. Yeah, group. I don't know. Kisner hasn't done much. But you also got Finau, Xander, Simpson, and Fleetwood. So this is going to be a hell of a field. It's at Sherwood Country Club in Thousand Oaks, which is, if you have sons that play Little League, All-Star crap, you've been to Thousand Oaks.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big area for travel baseball, which I call the worst part of my life. Thank God they got worn out and burnt out. Thank God. First I'm going to say, yeah, it's a small field. So I'm sorry. It's not legit like the Sanderson Farms, you golf purist idiots.
Well, they've got a better trophy than anyone.
Right.
But, two big names had to withdraw this week.
Yes, and some interesting reasons why.
Right. DJ and Adam Scott are both out with COVID.
Yep. Wow. It had been a while. Right? Well, no, Horsfield. Oh, got it.
He got it. Yeah.
Yes, and that was pretty recent. So,
there have been a couple guys.
Well, no. Champ got it.
Champ got it. Finau.
Yeah. Well, he's from Utah.
Finau.
Are there any golfers from the Dakotas or Idaho? Because
Webb was exposed to it. Wow. You know, back early in the early
right.
part of it.
Pandemic. Yeah, I wonder. It's funny because, you know, it's funny again because we actually, I'm going to say something about this podcast. You got to download us right away because we're so prescient. We see the future so well. You're going to think we're recording it after. You got to record. You got to download this right away and listen to it because last podcast, Mark, you brought up COVID, and I think we were like, I don't know. I'm getting a little worried, right? We said that. What happened, Mark? I mean, listen, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, do you want to listen to Maddie and the Caddy? Those idiots? We told you it was going to happen. Top 20 golfers in the same week.
We're going to be asked to be part of the task force.
I know, exactly. They'll ignore us, too.
They will ignore us, too, yeah.
Exactly. Do we look like prophets?
Yeah, of course we do.
Of course we do. What the hell? What am I saying?
Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a surge going on in the world.
Yes.
So there's going to be more cases.
And there's a lot of reasons for it. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of reasons for that surge. Yeah.
So, and the one thing we are saying is like, we're starting to see a little relaxing of the mass and the crowds and the stuff. And it's, they got
opening
up,
you know,
you got to tighten it up.
Locales have opened up. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to tighten it up. You can't keep losing two-year top golfers. So, there you go. That's a good point, Mark.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Hey, you actually had a good point, Mark.
Yeah, I was shocked. Well, this is my favorite part because I can go get a soda. Do you know anything about this course? Because I don't.
Yeah, well, the interesting stuff about this course is less about the course itself. Right. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
It's actually like a place of like real Hollywood royalty in and of itself. I mean, not just the membership list, which is long and not always distinguished. But
it's a very wealthy, for you non-LA people. It's almost the equivalent, like a Beverly Hills. It's pretty wealthy.
Yeah.
Not a cheap town to live in.
So not just really the membership base, but also the course itself. Did you know that it's been numerous times the site of lots of filming?
So,
for example, do you know why it's called Sherwood Country Club?
They shot Robin Hood there.
They did. The original Errol Flynn was shot there at. Wait, this was before there was a golf course there.
That was the actual answer?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's actually
Holy
true.
Shit.
Yeah.
Holy, I almost made this a profanity-filled podcast.
Put on the E.
Wow.
Click the E button this time.
Okay, there you go.
And actually, I at around the same time, they also filmed Birth of a Nation there.
Which holds up so well.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, it's stunning how all that one holds up. And it's like it's evolving right before our eyes. And then you go into the 70s, Dukes of Hazzard was filmed
there. Oh, yeah, now we're talking. Yeah.
The opening first... credits of MASH.
Oh, I knew that because I knew that the unfortunately, because, you know, we're crushed with fires, you know, near that country club. They almost got wiped out, like that whole area where the country club is, because I think that MASH area got knocked out. That basically that whole area got nailed.
Yeah,
we're on fire all the freaking time over here.
So. Bridesmaids had a scene there.
Man.
I know.
This is sweet.
There's been some awesome.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Cool. Yeah, it's got a pretty cool history.
Dukes of Hazzard, MASH, and Bridesmaids. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I can tell, I mean, of those, Bridesmaids the only one that's post golf course.
Right.
You know. However, I mean, you know, it's a cool history there. Now, the golf course itself, it's a Nicklaus design. I think it was 89-ish thereabouts. Right. It's not overly long. I think it just basically pushes 7,000. It's got a long history as a silly season course.
Right.
I mean, as in a ton of events as a silly season course. And then when you think about it, it makes sense then as to why this event's being held there this time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when they were panicking for a new location, Sherwood's a perfect place because it's used to hosting off-season events.
Right.
I mean, it's a place where the guys know they could get it fairly easily. You'd never have to apologize for making the players go play Sherwood.
Right.
Depending on what your flavor is, so to speak, I think you're going to see some low scores this week.
I do too.
I think you're going to see some fairly low scores. Nicklaus design, another Nicklaus design.
Well, I like Nicklaus design, so I'm looking forward to this.
I do too. I mean, I know a lot. Nicklaus can be very polarizing as an architect. I mean,
right.
You either love him or hate him. It appears. And I mean, I grew up in a lot of Nicklaus courses, and I loved them, and I played well at all of them too. I mean, when you play well at it,
right?
In particular. You know, type of design you're gonna like it.
Yeah, you know what I usually notice what divides people that like them and don't like them.
What's that?
Well, it's like if you really know golf, like you would like a Nicklaus course. If your brain is a dog fart, then you don't like them. I mean, seriously, if you're a big dumb stupid moronic idiot, you don't like Nicklaus courses. That's sort of the type. I've noticed.
I mean, I've heard the criticisms before, and it's funny. I've never seen them. You know, like the criticisms people have about them. Be like, really? That you saw?
Yeah,
them,
that's huh? Okay. That's why they have so much trouble getting. Yeah, they have so much trouble getting golfers to play the Memorial. Yeah, I mean, it's a really crummy course.
I mean,
that's why the Memorial is the sixth major, basically.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Memorial. I mean, Murfield Village is.
Come on, man.
Right. I mean, among regular tour stops, it's Murfield, it's Bay Hill. You know, those are the courses that, you know, if you can play that week, you know, you're going to make sure to play. In fact, well, one of the best the examples that I know of as to the esteem that it's held is that 1 year Rory couldn't play.
Right.
Rory was hurt. And he handwrote a letter of an apology letter to Nicklaus.
Exactly.
For not being able to be there. Yep. So, I mean, you know, he doesn't do that for the Sanderson, right? You know, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have different architect preferences based on sort of the visual sort of thing. And I've noticed on these lists of the top 100 new public courses or the top, you know, whatever of the new ones of the last 10 years, it's all really basically focused on courses like that, that visually are stunning, that make for some great views and some camera work. But when you play it, you're like, this is ridiculous.
There's some courses you're just like, yeah, it just doesn't cut it. Yeah,
it's not playable. It's what we used to call goofy golf.
Yeah, it's just not fun to watch. You want a couple questions? Or you got more?
Yeah,
let's go. Okay, out of the big trio, the big young trio, Wolf, Hovland, Morikawa, who has the best finish this week?
Wolf.
I disagree. You know what
I'm presuming? Are you going to go? I bet you go Hovland. You're going to go Hovland. Prediction segment. We have no chance of hell.
Stay off the weed. Victor Hovland's going to win. He's going to win this tournament.
He's been playing well.
He's been playing great. He's going to tee the green the crap out of this thing. He's looked really good.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
That's a good pick.
Yep.
What's in her eye?
I went over all the big names, but that was the guy I liked.
What was it that sort of pushed you over the top with him this week?
I think the top, maybe Rahm's the only one, but there hasn't been consistent play from a lot of the top guys, and he's really been playing consistently well. And I kind of like the fact, too, that last week he had a tough start and he fought back and had a pretty good finish. So, you know, I just feel like his consistency, he's, I don't want to say he's due because there's no such thing as being due, but I mean, if you're just talking probability, I mean, I think he's going to contend and I think he's going to take it.
That's spoken like a true analytics guy. There's no such thing as being due.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as momentum.
There's no such thing as clutch hitting.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. I love adding that cold math analytics line in there. Yeah, it's true.
Well, it's funny that you asked that question and then used it as a way into the prediction segment because. Yeah. I answered the way. Yeah.
Okay, go.
I answered the way I did because I think Wolf wins this week.
Whoa! Wolf. No, you're saying whoa. You're not saying Wolf. Okay. No. That's a great pick. I considered Wolf. Nothing to say. You throw that crummy CJ Cup in the garbage.
Yeah, I think that's a non. Yeah,
he was partying, whatever. He had a crummy first round and he just let it go. Big deal.
Nobody's played this course in this field more than Matthew Wolf.
That's true because he is from.
He grew up on this course. They asked him earlier in the week how many times he's played it. He says, I don't know, like 10,000. I don't know, like
wow.
Like this is like the course that he's played most in his life.
I love Matthew Wolf. Did not come from a poverty-stricken background, if that is true.
10,000 rounds of Sherwood? Yeah.
Yeah. At the age of 22. It's a riches to riches story.
I mean, you know, good for him, right? I mean,
I love Matthew Wolf. I don't care. I'm basically an LA guy now, living in an overpriced house, so whatever. So I'm jerk off like everybody else.
I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you can be an underdog story.
Right. I just like him. He's a good dude. Okay.
I like Wolf. I like him. I also like the fact that
it had to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I considered, for me, course history is a big one, which, obviously, you know, the two guys you'd consider on course history here, which, I mean, DJ has the course record, but obviously he's not playing this week. So,
COVID won that one.
Right. Yeah. COVID two now, DJ nothing. Right. But the two guys you'd consider for history are Wolf and Woods, right?
Yeah, I can't throw Woods at this down. Place. We'll talk Woods.
Do you want to talk Woods? Let's cover your questions first, and then we'll get into Woods. We'll get into Tiger here in a little bit.
Okay, we'll do these quick because we're already at the 55-minute mark, and I do want to get to Tiger. So these are quick.
You do respect our listeners. That is one thing that I love about you.
Not all our emailers. Some of them are pretty good. And again, I want the criticism. Okay, never been adverse to it. Okay, I'm gonna name four guys top finisher of these guys: Xander, Simpson, Ron Breed.
Xander.
Okay, I'm gonna go Simpson. Okay, better better finish: Phil or Jordan Spieth. And we'll either finish in the top 40. I think there's about 75 golfers.
So Phil's playing this week. He's not playing senior tour, right?
No, he's playing this week. He's here. Okay.
Which, by the way, two for two.
Yeah, I've never seen a tour delegitimized more than this. It's really...
Well, I mean, you know, like when you see, you know, Scott McCarron, you know, win 25 times now, right? You know, essentially.
Yeah, this is... Honestly, I'm all for it. I don't really watch it. I watch pretty much everything else.
I used to watch a lot of the senior tour.
I just can't. I mean, to me, though, it's like I can, because I like LPGA and I like Euro. So it's like, and I'll even, I like Asian Tour.
I like a lot of the Euro. The Euro Tour is great.
Euro Tour
Asian
is really,
is fun to watch.
Asian Tour is great. LPGA is
that. Especially when they get Hosung.
Yeah, yeah. You got LPGA, it's had a good year. This has been a great tournament to LPGA this year. Yeah, okay. So Phil or Jordan. Chap Jordan. in top 40, and then we're gonna go to Tiger.
Boy, that's a good one.
Yeah, I know.
I mean Phil's got some good mojo. I mean, I just don't know that I can trust Spieth to put together two rounds in a row.
I think Phil is going to do better, and I think he's going to be top 30.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's a really good Cali player, obviously. So
let me ask you a quick corollary: does Spieth contend in any of his next 10 events? We'll say.
No. You say no. No, not at all. No, that's easy. That's the easiest question you'll ever ask me.
I think he gets one.
Nope. Oh, I didn't put the prices right. I would have given you the prices right one. But I didn't put that on.
It's great.
There you go. But we're not here to talk Jordan Spieth endlessly. We're here to talk Tiger Woods.
I'm here to talk Tiger Woods endlessly. I think this is a good time to sort of check in with Tiger.
This was a great topic. And see where he's at. I gotta say, I know people are sick of the kumbaya. We've had a little tension, mostly me at emailers, me at Spieth Tracker, me at the world. But this was Mark's idea, and was a damn good idea. As soon as I started working on it, I was like, hey, he did it again, the bastard.
I'm kind of struck that, you know, Every week that Tiger plays, there's a chance for history, and there's some mention of it, but it doesn't feel like there's a lot of sort of attention paid to it.
Well, I'll give you a rundown why there's probably not as much.
Sure,
I agree with you. He's down to 28 in the world after being pretty high for a long time. He was actually top 10 for a long time. His last top 10 was at the Farmers in January. I think it was a T9. His last starts have been a 68th at the Genesis, 40th at Memorial, 37th at PGA, which is his best finish. Northern Trust 58th, BMW 51st, Miscut US Open. Normally we'd go, this guy's done, except it's Tiger Woods, and you'd be on crack to say he's done.
Right. But I mean, you know, plus he's at least making cuts there.
But I want to say something though, that in my research, because I'm an analytics guy, as you know, as I showed by my
numbers grumpy, don't lie.
Grumpy stuff. So his tournaments, when he, quote, came out of nowhere to win the Masters, here's where what his finishes were. 20th at the Farmers. This is the six tournaments before. 20th at the Farmers, 15th at the Genesis, 10th at the WGC Mexico, 30th at the Players, 5th in the match play.
Mm.
Does that sound like a guy coming out of nowhere? Or does that sound like a guy that's on a pretty good run?
That's good. I like what you did there. That's good.
Yeah. So that's what... I'm going to have to see a little run like that before I'm going to expect something big from him. Because I used to think the Masters came out of nowhere. That's not coming out of nowhere. You can't have two top tens in your last WGC events and go, man, where'd that guy come from? No, that makes you one of the best players in the world at the time.
That's not like Sergio coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was out of nowhere because we were throwing dirt on him. So does that mean anything to you that I actually think that that Masters was not out of nowhere? He was actually playing pretty well.
Which, by the way, I actually would think that if you went and analyzed every event, you could probably sort of notice that most wins are not really out of nowhere. Yes. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
I mean, I agree with that. You can probably find something in the last 10 weeks that would suggest, you know what, though? He's been playing, but the Sergio one was completely out of nowhere.
That was out of nowhere.
But that's fantastic analysis. Thank you, sir. I really like that one. I always considered this record unbreakable.
Right.
I always considered two records unbreakable in golf, and one of them was Byron Nelson, although that's obviously a funky record as it is.
Yeah.
But this was the other. And I thought, right, that's so far out there.
Yeah, it's not.
Nobody's ever going to get there. And I mean, Tiger's 44 and he's already tied it. And that's essentially the last, 10 years have been inconsistent with his health and his personal life. And,
imagine if that stuff didn't happen. Good God, he'd be 150 or something ridiculous.
That would be, since we're here on Tiger, let's just play around with that idea for a second.
Okay.
I mean, which thing are we going to say without? I mean, are we going to say without all of it? Or one maybe thing?
The personal problems, because you it's hard to say the health. Almost like the health you can't really help, although maybe you shouldn't have tried to train like a Navy SEAL. I don't know. But I feel like the 2 years... 2 or 3 years he missed, self-inflicted, by the way. I want to say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, self-inflicted. Let's not, he was a serial adulterer.
Right.
I mean, we can't beat around the bush here. I think that takes 15 off the table. He was still like winning 5-6 a year at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15.
Just those 3 years. I think you got 15.
It keeps him from ever tying Jack.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's tying Jack.
I mean, there maybe 2 years ago, I would have opened the door a little bit more to it. Because when we think about it this way, when Tiger wins the Masters, right?
Yeah.
He was playing at the level that you were discussing, right? I mean, it's not peak Tiger, but that's good. That's good golf that he was playing, right?
It's top 10 in the world golf.
And he was in complete control as soon as he got the lead on Sunday, right? And so you sort of had the feeling, well, all right, now he's actually won a major from behind. He looks great. this could actually be the start of something.
And he won the Tour Championship 8 months before. So
that's right.
He had smashed two huge fields up.
Yeah.
So,
You know, and had nearly won the Open Championship a couple months before that.
Right.
I mean, he was actually in the lead on the back nine.
Yeah, he was on a great. Yeah, you forget how great that run was. That's saying he's
right. I mean,
it
wasn't. Yeah, I mean, he was playing good golf, right?
Yeah.
You know, but you know, now you fast forward a year and a half, and you know, look, this isn't to downgrade his win at the Zozo. I mean, it was a great win, good field, cool to do it, and of course, he's never played before.
Yeah, that was that was a good tournament.
Yeah, cool event. But I mean, it's tough to see. Well, I mean, I think, let me ask you this first question, very simple. Does he break the 82? Does he ever get there? I'm not talking this week. I'm talking ever.
Yes, I think he does.
Think he gets at least one more win?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Because I today I started to wonder whether or not he actually ever breaks it.
It might just be one.
Because it's, you know, I started to look. I mean, you know, he turns 45 in a month and a half.
Yeah. It's a good question, though. I can tell you what. I absolutely can see where you're coming from. And it's easy to make an analytical argument. I think the analytics almost favor you in terms of his stats. And the trajectory, and if you did the trajectory against how other golfers, you know, age or whatever. I mean, the stats are probably with you.
Well, history suggests that if he's going to win one or two, it's only going to be one or two at this age. I mean, I looked at a few guys who were notable for their successes in their 40s. I mean, Phil has been notable as a guy who's been competitive deep into his 40s. You know, from where he from, if you take Phil at the same age, Phil only won twice more.
Right. Same with Vijay.
VJ only won once at age 45, and he holds the record for most wins after 40.
Right.
And he cleaned up before he hit 45, and then once he hit 45, he only won once. Right.
40 to 42, he might have been the best golfer in the world. Is he almost
now? There have only been two guys who have really cleaned up after they finished. After they hit 45, can you guess either one of them? I'm going to give you a chance to guess either one of them.
Probably not.
So one of them is Julius Boros. Okay.
Okay. Can I try to guess the other one?
I'll see if absolutely. I can.
Ray Floyd.
Excellent choice. No.
But a good guess.
Great, great, great guess.
Because he was pretty good for a while. Yeah.
In fact, he was on the Ryder Cup team when he was like 47, 48.
Right.
That's
why I thought, because and he also, he's Raymond Floyd, and he probably spit in time's face.
No, it was Kenny Perry.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know why? If you can see his numbers now on the Champions Tour, the dude could drive. He guy was long.
Yes.
Because usually age, that's one of the first thing that goes, and that guy, no trouble.
He kept his distance for his, for his age. He won five times after he was 45.
Yes.
Okay. And Boris won five times after he was 45.
People forget, man. Perry was great. He was really
good. You're looking at sort of modern records, so to speak, I mean, if you sort of put Boris aside, I mean, Kenny Perry won five times at this age, but... But again, that's the most. Okay. So it's, that's to suggest that if Tiger wins again, we're talking between one and five. Right. I mean, means that it's going to be really hard to see him getting to 18 majors.
He's not going to do it. Just everyone.
He's not going to do it.
He's still in the running for greatest golfer of all time if he doesn't catch Jack. Okay. I mean, it's just it's the way it goes. But
I'm a Jack guy, and I'm wavering on that.
No, it's tough. I go back and forth. I mean, could he win a Genesis? He plays a Genesis every year. I mean, would that be I think that's the one. Win a Memorial. Win a. He always has those courses he's dominates.
Bay Hill.
Yeah, Bay Hill. He finds it, and Yeah, I think he's got one more, two more. It's just that talent's freakish. It's just even when I see him struggle, he'll hit that one shot and you're just like, God dang.
There's an interesting article up on PGAtour.com this week, and they did an analysis of his 82 wins, and they broke it down by sort of shot area basically. So his best of those 82 wins, what was the best he's ever driven it? What was the best that he of his approach, best short game, best putting, right? And you know what was really interesting about the driving one in particular, and it goes to exactly how much he dominated the Masters in 97.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get this back up again, but so that week, at the Masters in 97, mm-hmm. he hit 47 fairways for the week.
Right.
Since tracking began, there are only two instances ever where a player averaged 310 or more yards and hit 45 or more fairways in a Masters, and both were Tiger. Okay.
Yeah.
But what's amazing is that Tiger for that week, he averaged 323.
That's crazy. And that's when 323 was nuts.
So for some perspective, in the PGA Tour season that just finished, Bryson averaged 322.
Yep.
And here's the other part of that that's interesting. For that week, Tiger's advantage over the field, the average drive of the field for that week was 277.
I know. That was a thing.
So he was gaining 46 yards on average.
Yep.
per drive that week.
That's what Fred insane. Funk. Fred Funk was a top 20 player back then. He was driving 250.
I mean, it's just insane. I saw that stat and I couldn't wait to share it.
It's he'll never be that again.
No, he never will. And it's unfair to expect him to.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So here I got as usual, some great questions because I'm amazing. So how do you deal with this rest versus playing more dilemma that he's will have the rest of his career?
Not the way he's doing it.
You know, like, yeah, it's not working.
Right. I mean, I'm not calling into question the logic.
Right.
I get it, but it's not working. I mean, he needs to play more. I mean, here's the question, though. I mean, what's your goal? Is your goal to actually try to compete and win these?
Mm-hmm.
Or is your goal to, you know, show up healthy every week?
Right.
Because if it's the former, he's got to change. If it's the latter, he's totally fine doing exactly what he's doing.
Right, exactly. But
he needs to play more if he wants to start competing. He needs to play more.
Do you think the putter is his key to if he ever came back? Because I don't love how he's putting. Actually, that's the one thing that the driver comes and goes, but that's almost modern golf at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't even care about that anymore. I mean, our quote best player right now just hits it all over the freaking place. By the way, I said quote. He's not the best player. The best player right now is Dustin Johnson or Justin Thomas. Or Morikawa.
I might actually go Bryson. Sorry.
Well,
but. but that's for a different that's an argument on a different on but, another podcast.
You know, I like his irons, but the putting is just not confident.
Bryson has a couple massive holes in his game.
I know, I was talking about Tiger. I don't care about Bryson.
Oh,
we're
sorry.
Talking Tiger. Bryson. Screw Bryson.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever seen his putting and been worried about his putting.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
I mean, I always insisted that the most incredible thing about Tiger, and at different times for me, the most incredible thing was different things, but the most amazing thing for a long time for me was that the best player was also maybe the best putter ever.
Yeah, he was Crenshaw, like, as a putter, which everyone forgets. Like, he hit putt after putt. I mean, right. He's hit more big putts than any human being alive.
Well, the other interesting thing about him as a putter is that there's some really great putters who never change, right? I mean, right. Gentle Ben, right?
Right.
You know, he got his putter out of the, you know, literally out of the $5 bin at Austin Country Club when he was a kid and never changed. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, with Tiger, you know, literally, I mean, he's changed a couple times in the latter parts of his career, but he never changed his putter. He never changed his grip. He never changed his stance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he had little adjustments that he was making. He came a little bit more of a sort of, he's in more rotation in his putting than he had maybe at other parts. But, you know, he was a great putter and didn't change. So that suggested that he was a great putter who was also very confident and he knew what he was doing.
I'm curious. So I have a couple more questions unless you've got questions. If you want to hear mine, you want to do yours.
Yeah, let's keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Will he play the Champions Tour at all when he's 50?
I have always insisted no.
I hope not. I honestly, once Phil made a mockery out of it, I don't want Tiger to play it. I really don't.
Let's see.
In fact, next week we're talking about this Phil and the Champions Tour thing, because I think we got a topic there.
I could see it going in one of two directions. I could see it going, you know, on the one hand, I could see him being proud of never playing the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
He's never said anything like that. It's just, I don't know. I could just see him doing that.
Yeah, of course.
But I will say, I could also see him playing, but in an event that he has hosted.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Like, I could see him hosting something at, you know, wherever.
Right.
Maybe then, Blue Jack National. Maybe like a Blue Jack. The place they just played in the Ozarks. Something like that.
Ozark Country Club?
You know what? Yeah, they already have an event there. So they probably wouldn't be that.
Is there really an Ozark Country Club? I just made that up.
I'm sure there is. I mean, there has to be, right?
OGC!
the OCC.
No mask needed!
I mean, I think, or that place that he's working on in Chicago with Barack Obama. Maybe that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but, But I don't see him being a regular, no.
Okay, that's an exhibition I would love and watch. Tiger with Barack.
Well, that was one of the interesting things. I mean, Jack was never really a regular on the Champions Tour. Palmer was a regular. He played all the time.
Because you know why Palmer did? Because when he won a tournament back then, you got like $5,000.
That's true.
And then he, you know, although he probably had $2 trillion by then. But but... Yeah, that's an interesting question. But here's the other thing. Is the PGA ready for no Tiger? Because obviously that is starting to come in the mirror. And can they harness the marketable talents they have, like JT? I'm going to throw some out that I think are some of the most marketable. You got Morikawa, JT, Hovland, Rory. I think those are some of those guys. I still think if Finau could crack top 10, that guy is money in the bank.
Yeah. A year ago I would have given you a different answer. I would have said no.
Right.
A post Tiger world was going to be tough, at least for a few years. I've seen reason in the last year and a half to believe that golf is actually taken another step forward. in terms of public attention, in terms of, you know, I sent you that link earlier this week about viewership, that basically every single sport is down massively in viewership, except for the PGA Tour. it's kind of fascinating, and you could easily just be like, well, they had two majors, but literally the biggest jump has been in PGA Tour non-majors.
No, it's the little Sanderson Farms and stuff.
Right, it's Colonial.
Do you hear that, Matt Poste? People like the sport, man. They like it. They like the sport. Oh, by the way, do not make fun of Sandy Alomar to Matt Poste. He will freak out.
So you want to know what that was? I have a little bit of it too.
No,
Matt's going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
All you Pustes have it.
You're
snippy.
We have a limit. We have a limit. Right. We have a limit on Matt and I have limits on our negativity.
You see, I have nothing.
Because it's funny. Matt may not be responding in that thread.
Right.
But it doesn't mean he's not texting, because he's texting me.
Oh, no, I'm sure. No, I'm sure he's pissed off. He probably hates me. It's fine. It's okay. He won't be the first.
No, he loves you.
Your brother can.
He can talk. He can talk hockey and soccer with you in particular, and high level baseball. That's a thing. Yeah.
But well, listen, I'm an Arsenal fan. If I can't be negative, I don't know what to talk about.
Well, neither of the other Pustes are have any interest in golf.
Basically. No, they don't. They make
Matt
fun
has
of
a little bit more. Matt's got a slightly more interest, but it's slight.
Yeah. I mean, we could say bleep you to them. They don't listen to the podcast anyway, so it's
like, I think so Matt, you know, does.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's the only Hey, Matt, we love you.
Absolutely.
My brothers don't at all. My mom does, though. That's cool. Yeah, but then she it's like she's literally like your mom defending you. It's sickening. I don't get it. But see, we're the opposite. Stevensons, we just needle each other. I didn't even call it negative. It's just, we just beat each other down. So I guess I'm negative because I grew up that way. But okay, I got a couple more, and then we're going to wrap this up.
To end the point quickly, I think they're going to be okay. I think that people have, look, it's always going to be better when Tiger plays. There's always going to be sort of something in the air.
Yeah.
Like Marty used to say, there's a gleam, gentlemen, right? There's a gleam whenever Tiger's on the grounds that week.
Right.
But I think the rest of the events, I've seen a tick up. Yeah.
Do you think the PGA Tour will utilize him a lot, like the NBA did with Jordan after he stops playing regularly?
I don't know how much Tiger cares about the future of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's not. You know what? It's not.
And that's not a shot.
No, okay? It's not. It's fine. It's totally fine.
I mean, he clearly cares about the future of golf. He cares a lot about junior golf.
Which is cool.
And he cares a lot about college golf, you know, things like that.
Can I say that, like, caring about junior golf to me is almost, it's more admirable and more important than caring about the PGA Tour. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
So if he cares about that and says, ah, screw the PGA Tour, I don't care. That's great. That's fine with me.
I mean, he doesn't owe the PGA Tour anything.
Nope. The purses are up five times because of him.
Phil had another sort of piece this week about how much he owes to Tiger. I think Phil actually genuinely feels that way about him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Phil's smart enough to know that, yeah, that he's put money in everyone's pockets. I think generally there's, I haven't heard a lot of resentment toward him anyway, so.
I don't think they do. They may ask him to, but I don't think Tiger has much interest in that.
Yeah, and that's fine with me. And he's not doing
it. I think in part, I don't think Tiger, you know, loves the celebrity part.
No. I agree. Last question. He's not playing the Premier Golf League, right? Of course not.
That would be
tough to take.
I'll tell you this. I think 10 years ago he would have considered it. I actually think in the last few years, last couple years in particular, he has started to recognize that there's more than this. And he took the, for him, extraordinary step of actually speaking on a political issue.
Yes, which is
with the Black Lives Matter movement this summer. I mean, and you know, of course, you know, people had their views on that and whatever. But if you knew anything about his history, you would know that that was a remarkable thing for him to do.
Yes, that was great. No, we got
you know, and politics is not an area that A, I think he's interested in, and B, I think he really wants to get into now, especially because, you know, he's had a cozy relationship with Trump for a long time because, you know, they've had a lot of intersections business wise, you know, but anyway, that's sort of neither here nor there, but I don't see him being that sort of guy for the tour. No.
Yeah. Just let Bryson.
I could see Phil doing some of that.
Of course
though.
He would. He has no morals.
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah, because he has Phil no morals. Yeah, I could see Bryson doing it. I could see Patrick Reed doing it. I could see Satan doing it. I could see the ghost of Saddam Hussein.
I don't see DJ
there.
Doing it. I don't see Kepka doing it. I absolutely see Spieth doing it.
Oh my God, it'd be perfect for him. Yeah.
No, it's
going to be every piece of crap on tour. Sabatini will be there because they're going to be run out of guys. Sabatini is so in that thing. I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. You hear about it every... It's Halley's Comet every 4 months. And then the even more questionable financing comes out. You know, they're just like, hey, it's the way it goes. Hey. So, yeah. Well, that was some exciting talk there. That was pretty good.
Absolutely. I mean, just to put a lid on the Tiger thing, I mean it when I say that there's a gleam that week with Tiger. It does feel like something that you get excited for as the week goes on. You're like, oh hey, all right, tomorrow Tiger plays, and you know you do check, you know, how he's doing all day.
Yep.
And it's something that I've been doing now for like 5-6 years.
Don't say you don't.
You know, whenever he plays. Yeah, whenever he plays, like literally my attention is mostly focused on that.
It just sucks because it used to be really easy because you wouldn't have to scroll down.
Right.
I got to scroll down a bit. But that's one of those guys. I hope I'd love to see him win. Finau, Fowler.
Well, By the way, the one remaining question we haven't addressed. Well, how does he do this week?
I don't think he does that great. I think he's 40s, 50s. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't think this is the tournament. I still see one turnaround. I don't think it starts this week.
I see top 30.
That'd be great. I'd be
I
all
see
down
top
with
30.
A top 30 in this tournament is really good. You know,
I think this is going to be his best event of 2020.
Yeah. I know there's not
a non-Masters category.
I know this isn't the Zurich.
Masters is a different beast.
I know it's not the Zurich. It doesn't have a full field like the Zurich, but this is actually probably a better tournament.
That counts as one of Rahm's victories. You know, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the dumbest. That's still the dumbest tournament. So anyway, so I already know my emails are, you know, so the stingerpodcast@gmail.com. So you guys can tell me I'm grumpy.
Not going to be sponsored by BJ's.
Oh, BJ's restaurant. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I did. The one positive thing is that, you know, we've got tomorrow's slow roast on Thursday. Don't forget BJ's restaurant.
I've got it marked on my calendar.
Okay. I actually had people go, and I mean, this is literally everyone. We're like, hey, the ribs are good. Or like, I went to BJ. So they got like a few people. So
pizza.
They I did tell them to say the Stinger sent them, and they got some looks. But other than that, but they said, okay. But hopefully okay. We get enough momentum. But
so have you visited BJ's before?
No, but
have you been to our restaurants before?
But it is nice because when you push good products like Hostess Cupcakes or BJ's, you don't get any angry emails. It's just like, yeah, hey, that was good.
That is the nice part.
Yeah. So there you go. Slow roast of Thursday tomorrow. Sign up for the BJ's email. I get that too. Get some deals. Watch out. You might get a free beer. Who doesn't want that, Mark? Whoa. Whoa. All righty. So, yeah, the Stinger Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget our Twitter account because we do, but we'll. One day.
That's because Twitter's been censoring us like they have
exactly
everybody else. Yeah.
Exactly.
We are a noted right-wing
right
account. Yeah.
Exactly. We actually don't make up stories, so if we tweeted stuff it would probably stay on. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Listen Notes, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Player FM. And what's the last one, Mark? Deezer! Stop drinking!
No, I'm not.
How much have you had? Not. No, you're not.
I swear God,
is that whole box of wine gone?
I swear.
Just everyone knows. He shows up for the podcast. He says, I've lined up two boxes of wine. I'm going to wipe them out before the end of this podcast. And if you look at his slow reaction times, repeatedly, you could see he probably did it. What do you think, Mark, means? I want your opinion, Mark!
I'm sorry. Deezer was not the first thing on my mind.
Deezer, get it. Get the app. Listen to it on Deezer. Screw.
Maybe that's my problem. I need to get the app.
You know, yeah. I get it all on the big Apple Podcasts, the big corporate thing. Deezer's your indie.
By the way, I kind of want to boycott Apple after what they did with the Charlie Browns.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other topic.
I feel like that might actually backfire, but anyway.
Oh, it's already backfiring.
Yeah. Right?
I guess if you want to see a bunch of kids call each other a blockhead, you're going to have to go to Apple TV.
To pay the whatever it is, $10.99 a month.
No, I think they're already getting backlash. Nobody's happy about that. That's stupid.
Mm.
That's just corporate greed. So on that rebellious note... for the Stinger Podcast, I'm Chuck Stevenson.
This is Mark Busta. I'll see you.
Yeah. The Stinger!